Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off. You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which story is most agitating? That's right. This is a Southern version of which story is most agitating. We're going to play the Southern fried version because representing the tens and tens of people who are listening to this here Wretched Radio program, our very own Southern fried Jimmy Hicks. Jimmy?
Yes.
Are you prepared for this awesome responsibility to determine which one of these stories is more agitating?
I've been preparing my whole life.
How did I say that, by the way? Agitating.
You said it.
I got to swallow it more. That's what you do in the South. That's why people in the South, they tend to be pretty skinny because they're always swallowing their words and they have no room for dinner. It's agitating. Then down it goes. Here we go. Story number one. I really don't know which one to pick. They're all so ghastly. I don't want to do that one because it's really crude, because it talks about the sex ed curriculum that is being introduced to schools around the country. All right, I brought it up. Let's tackle it. However, I'm going to have to do double duty. I can't just read to you this detailed description of what is being taught to children from the Federalist, so I will share the details without sharing the details. Unbelievable. The National Sex Education Standards is a blueprint for sex education of, brace yourself, K-12 children. Okay. Really, does a four-year-old need to know anything? Well, these days, it seems that our world is determined to turn them into adults by sharing information they have no capability to rightly understand. The National Sex Education Standards Blueprint for the Sex Education of K-12 Children. It was originally introduced in 2011. That's important. But now we have the 2020 standards. Endorsing abortion at any time. Oh, that's nice. Teach the topic starting in sixth grade. Force teachers to provide information on local abortion clinics to students in ninth grade. Without telling parents. The standards also insist that children must be allowed to choose their own gender and false pronouns must be respected by the adults in their lives. You, parents, get in the back seat. You're going to follow your kid who's driving this gender mobile. Kindergartners learn about gender identity. Third graders learn that gender's a spectrum. They also learn in the third grade about the role of hormone blockers. Okay. Third grade, I was just learning how to write cursive. And they're teaching them about gender blocker, hormone blockers for transgender youth. Terrific. Edit out that sentence. Sixth graders, ages 11 and 12, must, gotta edit that. They have to define acts that should only happen between a husband and wife. And some of these shouldn't be happening between a husband and wife. Yeeks. As well as, oh, I'm sorry, I have to delete that sentence too, because I wouldn't talk like that or about that with adults. But they're teaching it to our children. The new standards have entire sections in their guiding principles section devoted to social, racial, and reproductive justice and equity. Reproductive justice. Ah, I see. Intersectionality and language inclusivity. They boast that the updated standards call attention to overt and covert discrimination. You know, that Gnostic sense that they have to determine you are being racist. You don't know it. You are being discriminatory, but you aren't aware of it. But we are. Now, recall that the 2011 standards have been updated in 2020. This article from the Federalist lists the words that are used and how many times in each one of the standards. Jimmy, would you like to go ahead and get, I'll give you the 2011 standards and you guess the number of times that this word is used in the 2020 standards. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. 2011, transgender was used 3 times. In 2020, it was used
43.
You're high. 21.
Oh,
but
wow.
We get the point.
Yeah.
I'm not good at math, but that's, I know my sevens times table. Mm. 7 times. Gender identity, 10 in 2011.
In 2020, it would be 30.
69. That's right.
60.
Good. Yeah.
Whoa.
Thank you for going low. That helps kind of, you know, make this feel more agitating. Sexual orientation was used 8 times in 2011. In 2020, the number is
50.
You're really close, 48, but you don't win either showcase. Gender was used 48 times in 2011. In 2020, it was used
100.
270 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, get ready for this. You're going to love this. Boy was used 7 times. In 2011. How many times in 2020?
0.
Well, it was 1, but it was in the context of princess boys. Girl was used 7 times in 2011. In 2020, the number is?
1.
That's a number, but the number provided here is 0.
Oh,
0.
Wow.
We don't talk, boys. So, just so 2019 to use terms like boy and girl.
Yeah.
I mean, we are so much smarter, aren't we? And finally, because we all know this belongs in a sex ed curriculum, which frankly, I don't think belongs anywhere in public schools. It is way outside of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Racism was used 0 times in 2011. In 2020, it was used
400.
9 times. We get the point. Don't we? I'd read this paragraph about what they're teaching kindergartners in public school, but hey, I wouldn't talk like that in public. 6th graders are encouraged to attend an LGBT rally, write down ways they can challenge homophobia, and complete a biography of a prominent LGBT figure in contemporary history. Also, in 6th grade, students are taught that assuming boys don't wear dresses is a stereotype. That, Jimmy, is story number one. That's pretty agitating.
Yeah.
Don't you say?
Think
disturbing also.
Yeah.
Story number two. This is up the Federalist again. A headline reads, now two-parent families are racist. The National Council on Family Relations. They've been around for a century. Now, for 99 of those years, they've recognized there's boys, there's girls, there's pinks, there's blues. They pretty much got that because they were the Council on Family Relations. And this actually, while being agitating, does make sense. They really have to do this. And they just use the critical theory methodology to get them there. That's what's baked into this. The National Council on Family Relations, founded in 1938. Okay. Almost 100 years. The organization publishes 3 journals, Journal of Family and Marriage, as the leading resource journal in the family field. They will influence hundreds of marriage and family therapists and researchers across the nation. I share that because we need to understand, okay, this actually is an impactful story besides just being annoying. Like white privilege, family privilege. Ever heard of such a thing? Me neither. Family privilege is an unacknowledged and unearned benefit, instantiated in U.S. laws, policies, and practices, and bestowed upon traditional or standard nuclear families to the disadvantage of non-traditional configured family systems. Is there any scientific proof for that? No. No, there's not. Is there any legislation that you can find that actually elevates a two-parent mom and dad family above other configurations? And the answer to that is yes. They therefore identify that as being systemic racism. But we need to remember history. Why did the government take an interest in marriage? They weren't always in the business. Now they injected themselves because people in power recognized this is good for people. A husband and a wife staying home with the kids, staying together rather with the kids. That's beneficial for the entire society. All boats rise when families are strong in America. So did they offer tax incentives? Yes, they did. Did they offer any sort of privileges to those couples? Well, tax advantage would be a privilege. But there was a reason for it. Today, we look at that courtesy of critical theory and conclude, well, see, that was racist. That was done. I'm sorry, not racist. That's family privilege. And you might not even realize you have it, the article goes on to say. But we're telling you, you do. So if you've been raised by a mom and dad, shame on you. You've had family privilege. And you're a family privilegister. That is story number two. Jimmy, we have not yet begun agitated. We will continue with, this is a horse race here on Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini Master Seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Well, it's October already. That means the leaves will start changing soon. It also means the annual Wretched Fall Booklet Sale is taking place. Now through October 22nd, all of our evangelistic booklets are 25% off. That's Don't Stub Your Toe, Are You a Rotten Fish, The Man Who Split Time, and 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. All 25% off. Of course, solving the God puzzle is always no charge. It's a perfect time for you to get stocked up for Halloween. And no, we're not encouraging you to celebrate a dark satanic day. We're actually encouraging you to celebrate Reformation Day. The world is always going to continue with their worldly traditions like Halloween, but we can reclaim that day from Satan. And when the children come to your door looking for candy, give them truth instead. Hand down one of our evangelistic booklets, which are 25% off right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. And together we can reform Halloween this Reformation Day.
If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Origen of Alexandria was a 2nd century theologian who wrote one of the first systematic theology books. Origen observed that heretics twisted and misused scripture by taking verses out of context However, he refuted them by reading the verses in context and interpreting them in the light of the rest of Scripture. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What used to be called a blessing is now racism or something. This is Wretched Radio. What is critical theory? The idea is that there are systems that are baked into government, into society, that privilege, in particular, white people. Now, every Christian joins in the battle cry to say, hey, if those laws exist, we got to get rid of that. That's not fair. That's not right. This theory goes a step further. You don't even realize how racist the laws are. You don't understand how society has been so structured by white European cisgendered Christian males, and it was all set up for their advantage with the express purpose of holding other people down. Now, I haven't found any writings where anybody in history has admitted that, and if we find those, then we denounce those. But this is merely a theory, and we all know that theories aren't law, and yet these theories are being utilized as law to radically transform America and Western civilization. Our second story, and which story is most agitating? Now, two-parent families are racist, too. The National Council on Family Relations, this is also being taught in our schools, they have determined that society has privileged a man and a woman who have children. And they're right. Because we know that's good. We know that that is good. We know that there is a blessing in that, and it doesn't matter what skin color you are. That's the kick in the head with this deal. They claim that the idea of a husband and wife being together, that's a white construct. No, actually, there's a lot of black people, husbands and wives, that are married. And scientifically, they experience the blessings and benefits of that configuration also. Two-parent families, including black two-parent families, this from the Federalist, dramatically reduces poverty, childhood abuse, other social ills. This organization that is supposed to be for families is now asserting our two-parent American families, white and black, represent systemic racism and family privilege. You need a new dictionary every other day in our critical theory culture. Family privilege. That's what you had if you had a mom and a dad who stayed together in a covenantal relationship. Hold on. Research that hasn't been tainted by CRT has shown children raised in fatherless homes have a 4 times greater risk of poverty, 7 times greater risk of becoming pregnant as a teen, and are 2 times as likely to be obese and drop out of high school. And that, by the way, goes for every country. Why? Because this is the way the world operates. God has metaphysical, spiritual laws. If you obey them, you're going to receive the blessings, even if you do not believe in the source of these laws. And so if a man and a woman commit to living together till death do them part, they will overall experience better things. That's just the way the universe runs, because that's the way that God has ordered it. There are blessings in marriage, and it's not a white construct. People get married all over the globe, different ceremonies, of course. But the pagans were getting married in Bible days. This is not a white construct. This is an identification that certain configurations of family dynamics are better than others. Finally, traditional research has shown children raised without a father are more likely to exhibit behavioral problems, to face abuse and neglect, to abuse drugs and alcohol, to make crimes, go to prison, etc. And I recognize there are people who would say, hey, there's more to the story on those statistics, but I think the point has been made. Two-parent families are better when it's a mom and a dad committed till death. Story number three. Jimmy?
I don't know how you can get much better than these.
Oh, just wait. This was an article that was published, I believe, in USA Today. This is from a Presbyterian USA minister. That's right, Presbyterian USA. Need to remember that, because you got Presbyterian Church America, they're sound. Presbyterian Church USA, they prove the uni rule. That's right, the uni rule, which states, as written by, well, me, anytime a denomination has the letters UNI in order, it's going to be liberal. It's universalist. It's Unitarian. It's united. By the way, the United Church of Christ, they're dropping Church of Christ in God. God, that's United Church. No, United United Church of God is dwindling. It's a very, very liberal denomination. They consider themselves to be Protestants. Always been extremely liberal, and their numbers are plummeting. They might be out of business. I think the number thrown about was like 2045. They're down to 800,000. They were at 2 million. Now they're at 800,000. And interestingly, the statistics on that. Hold on. I've actually got the statistics on that. Yeah. United Church of Christ. Well, let's just see. They sold their headquarters. The headquarters, they went down from 330 staff members to 117. Here's the number right here. While the Church of Christ had 2.1 million members at its founding, it has dwindled to just over 800,000. Hey, my memory isn't completely shot. The church has internally projected it will decrease in size to membership of 200,000 by 2045. Bummer. I thought they'd be totally out of business. Did I just say that out loud? Part of a larger decline in mainline Protestantism. There are some movements that call themselves Christian that are going up, interestingly. Seventh-day Adventists, they're down just, the number where they're statistically down is that they're not gaining as many members as they historically have. Typically, they'll gain about 1 or 1.1 million new followers. In 2020, maybe COVID-related, 800,000. But they're growing. So are the Mormons. Eeks. So are the Jehovah's Witnesses. What do each of these have in common, by the way? Oh, yeah, they're willing to hit the streets and evangelize. Most everything else is shrinking. I will say this, though. Conservative Bible teaching movement churches, they're growing. Liberalism dying all over the place. The Episcopalian Church lost 61,000 members in 2020, faced declining attendance before the pandemic actually hit. Baptized Episcopal Church membership declined from 1.798 million in 2019 to 1.736. That's about 61,000 souls. The total of active baptized members is even lower. 1.5 million active baptized members of the Episcopal Church compared to 1.6 in 2019. It's on its way to dying too. And Godspeed. Let's get back to our story that's going to be really annoying from our Presbyterian Church USA leader. Headline, I'm a Christian minister who's had two abortions. Hold on, not done. Here's how faith informed those decisions. I'm pretty certain this female pastor wears pants because I smell somebody's britches are on fire. A faith-informed decision? Well, maybe it was faith-informed, but it wasn't Bible-informed. If you have a high gag reflex, you might want to turn the channel now. I do not take my abortion decisions, despite my Christian... I did not make my abortion decisions, despite my Christian identity, but because of it. Christian values that support healthy and secure families require careful, thoughtful, and morally rich. Apparently I have a high gag reflex. Morally rich consideration about the decision to become a parent or not. Oh, yes. It's all about the big bully. The one who's strong enough to snuff out the life of the little one. That's what this hokey pokey is all about. And I can say without a doubt that the two decisions we made to have children were far more morally significant than the decisions to end two pregnancies. Oh, what is the problem? One question. What is it? You ask somebody in an article like this, in a debate about life, what is it? And if they are willing to admit it is life, and they have to, because scientifically, dead things don't grow, only those things that are alive do, we are taking the life of a whole innocent human being. That's the science. Answering the question, what is it, puts an end to these shenanigans of justifying being a really big bully to the extreme. All right, Jimmy.
Yep.
You're spared because there's way more quotes in that article that
yeah, no, I've read it.
They're just gag worthy. All right, yeah. So there's your three stories. The woman, story number one, what we're teaching the kids in the schools, and now two parent families are considered to be racist. Which one is the most agitating?
It would be the Presbyterian pretend minister.
Oh.
That would be more agitating to me.
It's more agitating, but perhaps. Well, boy, the influence and the impact that article in USA Today could have. But what we're teaching the kids, oh, and how we're redefining families. That's all agitating. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Well, the controversial Loudoun County School Board in Virginia is back in the news after allegedly covering up the rape of a 14-year-old girl in a girl's bathroom at the hands of a boy playing dress-up. The cover-up was allegedly done in order to pass a transgender bathroom policy with no pushback. The father of the victim was arrested for attempting to bring the incident up for discussion at a school board meeting. He said in an interview with Tucker Carlson that he was told by his attorneys, the prosecuting attorney, police, and people he didn't even know that if he wanted justice for his daughter, he needed to keep quiet and not speak out. Yeah, I'm not real sure any of those people know exactly how justice works. That school board is the source of a lot of ill in the state of Virginia, and I would say they probably need to be dismantled. A mother has spoken out publicly regarding a disturbing spreadsheet that she recently found on her 14-year-old's laptop. The spreadsheet, she claims, tracks his classmates' actions, so he's an informant of sorts. And that's perfectly normal, right? I mean, every kid keeps a dossier on their classmates, don't they? Here are some of the infractions that were listed in the spreadsheet. Has a mom who is a cop. No pronouns in Insta bio. Laughed at a fat joke. Used cis-normative language. Now, apparently these are all bad things these days, and kids are being convinced to start informing on one another. And this is likely the beginning of what may soon see our kids turn into full-fledged commies. Well, the New York Public Library is doing its part to promote equity. How are they doing that? In a recent tweet, they're saying goodbye to late fines, past or future. As of October the 5th, all fines are canceled, past, present, and future. So if you have a book that you keep forgetting to return, don't worry about it. The library will not track you down or harass you for that 30 cents per day. The president of the library system, Tony Marks. There's a joke there about who he may be related to, but I'm not going to make that joke because I'm above that. He said, quote, as New York grapples with inequities laid bare by the pandemic, it's all the more urgent that we ensure the public library is open and freely available to all. Way to go, Tony. Cousin Carl would be so proud of you. Okay, so I'm not above making the joke, but to his point, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the point of libraries to begin with? That books would be freely available to all? More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 863 AD. Cyril and Methodius, Greek brothers, evangelize the Serbs. Cyril develops the Cyrillic alphabet, which remains the basis for the Slavonic used in the liturgy of the Russian Church. Even the alphabet can be a reminder of God's work in the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Gentlemen, can I use that word? Start counting your blessings. This is Wretched Radio. How many horrible stories can you read in a day? The answer to that, like the Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop conundrum, has not been determined. We don't know how many stories could possibly be produced in a single 24-hour cycle that reveal Romans 1 is alive and well. As thinking moves further away from God, it gets a whole lot closer to insanity. Honestly, there's got to be a standard for right thinking. Once again, a reminder where psychology, where counseling that is integrative so falls apart. What is normal behavior? Really, how do you know what is normal behavior? If we don't have some sort of benchmark, then it's going to change generationally. We used to think this, now we think that. Oh, wait a second. That's exactly what's going on, because we've jettisoned the standard of what is reality, what is normal, what is right, what is wrong. Count your blessings, Jimmy. For which one is more agitating? I didn't have time to share the story about the Ohio man's kidney transplant that was canceled days away from scheduled surgery because the donor of the kidney wasn't vaccinated.
What?
And this is from the Gateway Pundit. I hope it's a gag story, but I don't think that it is. A fully vaccinated man, 52, was just days away from his scheduled transplant surgery when he was informed by the Cleveland Clinic it was canceled because the donor wasn't vaccinated. Okay, so let me see if I've got this right. Let's just say that the fellow who's willing to give a kidney to another human being to keep him alive, who didn't have the COVID vaccine and could potentially give him COVID, which 99.7% of the time doesn't kill you. Yeah, that math works. Yes, cancel it. We can't risk that, can we? Unbelievable. Count your blessings, Jimmy. I didn't share California mandates gender-neutral toy aisles for large retailers. That would be the governor, Gavin Newsom. I'm telling you, we don't live in the United States anymore. And I mean that on a lot of levels, but in particular, consider the state of California. California mandates gender-neutral toy aisles for large retailers to get rid of outdated stereotypes of what boys tend to like to play with and what girls tend to like to play with, even though you can put 100 girls into a room with guns and dollies, and chances are really high they're going to pick the latter and not the former, and vice versa for the fellas. Those outdated stereotypes, they're going to be obliterated courtesy of the governor who now mandates the toy aisles become gender neutral or they get fined. This would be the same governor who is also mandating that if you go to public school, you have to be vaccinated. In the meantime, in the United State of Texas, that governor is saying, vaccine mandates, not going to happen in Texas. Sorry, President Biden, you're not going to bully us. That was his term, by the way. You're not going to bully us into submission and forcing people to violate their conscience. He encouraged people to get the vaccine, but he said we're not going to mandate the vaccine. Okay, which country belongs with what state here? Because one of these is not like the other, and it's way more than red and blue. This is a country that is wildly divided on profound levels. And it should remind us that dynamic demands a profound solution. That dynamic needs more than just throw the bums out. No, we need more people who are thinking rightly, who are believing correctly. And that only comes through salvation in Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel. Let's not lose track of that. Last night, I was watching on American Gospel TV. My buddy Bart gave me a subscription. I had to apologize. He actually gave it to me 6 months ago. And he sent me, this was brutal. In March, he sent me an email stating, hey, you've got a gift from American Gospel TV, a one-year subscription. It's got a collection of Christian stuff on it, including Wretched, by the way. Well, I didn't see, I don't even know how to describe it. I am so technologically challenged. I didn't want to open the thing because I knew that I would need a thing to do the deal to get the app or something like that. And he sends me a text yesterday going, so what do you think of American Gospel TV? I don't think anything because I don't know how to make these things work. So with no small amount of effort and the help of a teenager, I was able to view American Gospel TV last night, and I watched a little over 2-hour biography on Philip and Matthew Henry. You probably know the latter name, Matthew Henry. He is the Bible commentator. He's also written books on preparing for communion. He's also written, I believe, a prayer book. But he's still popular today. One of the most popular biblical commentaries, Matthew Henry. If you're looking for Greek word studies, not going to find it. But if you're looking for somebody to give you the meaning of the text, this Presbyterian minister did a pretty bang-up job. It's still used at Bible, Gateway, Blue Letter, Bible, and you can even buy the set. It's 300 years old, and it endures because it doesn't talk about politics. It's not talking about this social issue. Just here's what the Bible says. And the reason the biography started out with Philip Henry, it's because of the godly heritage that Matthew had. That is what caused him to be so productive. Philip was also a Presbyterian minister and apparently considered a scholar, went to Cambridge, was a writer, was an influencer of his day. And the fruit didn't fall far from the tree in Matthew Henry. It was just a good use of 2 hours, is what it was. Matthew Henry was an individual who asked the question, how am I using my time? He actually preached a sermon on it, and he encouraged his congregation, track it. Identify, how are you? What are the time wasters of your day? And so he started a journal that day saying, how can I not do what I just preached about? And so he kept pretty much a daily journal for the rest of his life to identify what the time wasters are. What are the things that keep me from doing service for the King? And I think you and I would do well to maybe take a page out of Matthew Henry's diary and start doing the same thing, not by writing a journal. You can do that if you want to. But what sort of time do you direct on a daily basis to the propagation of God's kingdom versus how much time we spend yammering about this earthly kingdom? And we can have virtually no effect on what is going on in the planet. We would do well to determine, am I using my time wisely? And even as I speak, I'm like, okay, wait a second. I watched a 2-hour biography on Matthew and Philip Henry. Was that a good use of my time? Fair question. I learned something. Could I have been more productive, though? Probably. But it sure was interesting to watch. Jimmy, are you counting your blessings?
I'm counting every one of them.
Because I didn't share those stories with you.
Thank you.
About the California mandates. Yeah. Or about, what was the other, the Ohio kidney transplant?
Yeah.
Or I didn't share this annoying story.
Oh, thank you.
UNC, that would be your University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. It's a gorgeous campus. Been there, done that. It's lovely. In fact, I think it was at Chapel Hill where I kept the picture of the outside plaque on the gorgeous chapel. It's really a church. It's almost a cathedral. And if I'm not mistaken, it was actually paid for by a Presbyterian. This is Presbyterian Day here. A Presbyterian who said, hey, this building exists so that Jesus Christ can be proclaimed. In the basement of said church is now the assembling of all the different chaplains of all the different denominations and worldviews. And then when you turn away from the chapel and look at the campus, oh, cool, a rainbow flag. That Presbyterian would be thrilled. UNC Chapel Hill cancels classes for one day because, now this isn't a laughable story, but there's a part of this that's agitating to me because this is another fruit of the worldview that dominates our culture today. UNC Chapel Hill cancels classes for a day amid suicide fears, calling it a mental health crisis. The chancellor said that the school was in the middle of a mental health crisis, noting that college-age students carry an increased risk of suicide. Therefore, classes will be canceled. And here comes his solution. Ready? I encourage every student to use the time to rest. Check in with each other. During the day, reach out to a friend and ask them honestly, how are you doing? Yeah. That's going to help the kids. That's agitating. And this is one more reason why we need to be at university campuses, passing out literature, talking to kids, building a little tent, passing out cookies, praying for the kids, because these kids are indeed hurting. These kids are indeed lost. They are indeed confused. And the chancellor of a secular university has nothing to help them. This, are you counting your blessings? Is Wretched Radio. If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
You know, there are a ton of things people partner in. Some have business partners. Some have workout partners. Everybody needs accountability partners. Then there are partners in crime, which I don't recommend. You've got marriage partners, which I do recommend. And of course, we can't forget the Wretched Gospel Partner. Our gospel partners make what we're able to do here at Wretched possible. Without you guys, there is no Wretched. You have faithfully and consistently helped Wretched reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we humbly thank you. And if you haven't done so, would you please prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Wretched? You can know that your generous gifts will be faithfully stewarded away. So would you, number one, please pray for us? And number two, would you also pray about how you could support Wretched as a monthly gospel partner? Get more details on how you can do just that right now at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Blessed beyond measure, this is Wretched Radio, just soaking in the blessings because we're not sharing the stories that we could have shared that are really agitating. Let's remember, even as we hear these stories, as you read your feed, we need to have a spiritual perspective. I can't just get frustrated with humanity because God doesn't. That is a staggering thought. God isn't teetering on the edge of, oh, I just, oh, these people, why don't they? No, believe me, the cup of wrath is filling up. But it's premeditated. It isn't disproportionate to activities. And it is based in justice. But God isn't just torqued with people because we're so agitating. We need to remember that too. And we need to remember, I believe I was reading Titus last night, and it talks about, remember, we want to behave a certain way for the world because they're just lost the way we were. Maybe it was Ephesians. The point is, it's in the Bible. Our motivation for seeing people and how we treat them is not how poorly they're performing. It is based on the love that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ. Look for those connections regularly in the epistles where you're commanded to do something and then you immediately either preceding or following that command, you're going to get, because Jesus Christ did this, because God demonstrated his love like this. You'll always be given the right motivation, and it is to act like God, because God has been so kind to us and he is so patient with unbelievers. And I would even suggest to you, he has to have even more patience with believers. Let's not get carried away with this sanctified imagination scenario, but let's imagine God viewing the earth. He sees the behavior of the heathens. And then he sees those whom he has made born again, granting them repentance and faith, making them alive in Christ, positionally called as a saint, with a place prepared for them where we get to reign with his Son, receiving every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms to the max. And he sees our behavior. I wonder which one is more agitating to God. But count your blessings. We are not sharing these stories like the UNC Chapel Hill, where suicide is so pervasive and concerning to the adults there that they've decided to cancel classes for a day. We need to know this statistic. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for people aged 10 to 34. Whoa. Suicides have increased since COVID-19 pandemic lockdowns, the agency known as the Center for Disease Control has reported. It's a big deal. Suicide is no joke. And we, I think, can fairly ask a question. So what's changed in the last several years? What's different? We could cite iPhones. You could cite Donald Trump if you want to. But how's about the culture has changed? What is a culture? It is the way that the majority of people think based on the predominant cult. So whoever is exerting the most influence when it comes to ideologies, faith, worldviews, that's the culture, and it reflects it. Has anything changed in America? Yeah, well, we've heard plenty of statistics that Christianity it's shrinking. It doesn't have the influence it once did. What does? Secular humanism, postmodernism, critical theories, all godless ideologies. Do you think maybe they should bear some of the responsibility for the behavior of kids 10 to 34 who want to kill themselves because of what they have been taught their whole lives? I think that might be very fair. In fact, to demonstrate, historically, we used to teach kids about Christian things. A meme was sent to me from Andrew that apparently is very popular. You have to admit, here's the meme. For some reason, they chose Oprah Winfrey. And she's kind of got her hands on her forehead like, "Duh, can you believe this?" She looks exacerbated. And it says, here's the meme, "My evangelical parents, why are you so scared all the time?" And then surrounding Oprah Winfrey in the picture, it lists all these supposed things that cause kids to be afraid. The rapture, forced proselytizing, demons, revelations. Real biblical scholar put this meme together with the revelations. Scary Christian, scary Carmen videos. Going to heaven as listed as why kids are scared all the time. Spiritual warfare, angels, purity, going to hell. See, they were terrifying the kids. Hold the phone. These types of things are not being taught to the kids as much, but suicide rates are going up. The secular worldview has overall replaced the Christian worldview, and they're not willing to bear any of the responsibility for the fruit that their worldview has borne. So I decided to create a meme. Okay, I don't know how to, but if I were going to, I'd take the same picture of Oprah, and I would say, "My secular parents, why are you so scared all the time?" I would put climate change. I would put everybody is a racist. I'd put white supremacy. I would put Donald Trump. I'd put Republicans. I'd put truth. Those are things that are terrifying the kids. Will they admit that? Of course not. And by the way, if you happen to think that climate change isn't scaring the kids, actually, it is. The climate change is one of the reasons that people are feeling dread. This is from, I got to put in my glasses, Wired.com. Feeling climate dread? You're not alone. It's called eco-anxiety. Oh, so the green movement is causing people to feel dread. Oh, who knew? It's called eco-anxiety, a completely natural response to a world gone haywire. And it's way more prevalent than you think, especially among young adults. Whose worldview is this anyway? It's not really an evangelical worldview. This is thoroughly secular. In September, researchers published an alarming survey of 10,000 folks in 10 countries, all aged 16 to 25, about their views on climate change. Three quarters said the future is frightening. Over half reported feeling like humanity is doomed, and 39% said they were hesitant to have children. So, their apocalyptic understanding of the planet is causing people to have dread. In fairness, they could point at the Christian worldview and say, well, what about your book of Revelation? Without the s, because that's what it is. Why doesn't that scare kids too? Well, first of all, it should scare kids because that's reality. That's what the future holds. But contrary to the green worldview, there is hope. You can escape the wrath that is to come. That's the point. Jesus wins, and he is willing to bring you onto his team. Submit yourself to him. Repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you'll inherit the kingdom, which is also a part of the book of Revelation. It offers a glorious... What is the Green Movement offer? It looks like we're going to burn the place up by 2050. I think that's the latest number, 2050. We're all going to be toast. We're going to be out of here. And what's the way to avoid this apocalypse? Well, we got to do stuff. All right, what are we supposed to do? Well, we think plant more trees and put onerous laws on businesses. We think that's going to... How many laws and trees do we need to avoid this apocalypse? We don't know, but we better get on it, or we're all going to perish. There's no hope there. There's no future there. There's no salvation there. It is nothing but bleak doomsday talk. And it, I think, is one more contributor to why kids are so depressed these days. And we can, I think, very, very fairly say, hey, the results are in. Secularists, congratulations. You really have grabbed the cultural bull by the horns. And you are leading the way our kids think through the indoctrination, sex ed, CRT teaching in schools, evolutionary ideologies, because I don't want to call it science because it ain't. You have been dominating gray matter space in our kids now long enough that we can rightly go, hey, when are you going to start taking some responsibility and recognize your worldview is a failure? And while we recognize you hate Jesus Christ, the truth of the matter, scientifically, is that the more people who believe in him are less likely to take their own lives. Jimmy, I hope that you counted your blessings today for not sharing these stories. I really hope you're encouraged and edified.
I really appreciate that.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.